Have you ever wondered what people mean when they say, I believe in God? Well, the question you'll have to ask them is this. I do too. However, which God do you believe in? To the Muslim, Allah is God. To the Mormons, I'm not sure who is God. But you know, God defined himself through his names. Did you know that? In fact, there are 10 powerful names by which God declared who he was. You say, Brother Fred, certainly you're not going to preach on all 10 names. No, it's my introduction. Now, I want you to listen to this. When the Israelites said, he is our God, all the other religions around them, all the other tribes, they have their own God. But the one term that signified the God they were talking about was the word Elohim. Elohim. When they said that, it means that they're talking about the only sovereign, living, powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, holy God. When they wanted to make clear the God they worship, they said, we worship Elohim. And everybody else knew that Elohim was the name of the one true living God. But then there was another name. It was Yahweh. And as I looked at that word, the name Yahweh, it's another way of saying Jehovah. But the word Yahweh means the Lord. It means, that's the way it's interpreted. It means the Lord. You know, and by the way, that's where we get the word, the name for God, I am. I am comes from the Hebrew word Yahweh. When he told Moses, tell Pharaoh that I am sent you, and you tell the Israelites that the I am has sent you, he was saying Yahweh, because Yahweh is Lord, and it means one true living God, and that he is the great I am. And another name by which God is known is Elyon. Elyon. And there's a very significant meaning to that name. It means God Most High. When they said Elyon, they were saying God is so high, so much bigger, so much greater, so much more awesome than anybody else. You see, they would speak to Elohim, and then they'd cry out to Yahweh, and then they would cry out to Elyon, who... And by the way, I think they had in mind how holy God was, how holy God is. Elyon, you're so much higher than any other being. And to them, it was a powerful and significant name for God. The other name, there are 10 powerful names and others, but these are the main ones. There's Elroy. And you know what the meaning of that is? The God who sees. You know, I was reading about Abraham and how Hagar got sent away from home by Sarah and told her not to come back. And she was out there in the desert, and she was not an Israelite, and she wondered if anybody knew where she was. And God spoke to her. God spoke to this Hagar, and who had Ishmael with her. And she named him as he went, after she said, I have just been in the presence of the God who sees. And so Elroy is, he's the God who sees. Nothing is hidden from the omnipotent sight of Almighty God. Another name for God is El Shaddai. See, he was identified by all the Israelites with these names. And every one of them had special meaning. He is El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. Speaks of his power, greater than any other power. He's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. He's Yahweh Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord is our provider. And he is Jehovah Nisi, who the Lord is our banner. He fights for us. He is Jehovah Rapha, or Rapha, which means he's the God that heals us. And then he's Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. And one of the other names that would surprise you for God they use was the word Abba, A-B-B-A, which was, to them it meant God is a loving, caring, heavenly Father. And they were looking and praying to him. So really there are 10 powerful names for God. And there are others, but these are just the 10 that I wanted to mention now. But I want us to take the second name, and that was Yahweh, which means the Lord, but it also means I am. It means he's saying, I am. You see, God the Father is the great I am. Jesus said, I am. And he said it about 10 times in the book of John. But I want us to look at 4 times when Jesus used the word I am. In John 8:58, I want you to notice what it says about Jesus. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Which, you know, the words I am mean they've always existed. There's never been a time that Jesus Christ did not exist. There's never a time that God the Father and the Holy Spirit did not exist. They're the uncreated eternal beings. And so when he says, I am, he was saying, I am the God who provides. I am the God that who knows. And here are 4 things that he said about himself, about the word I am. Let me tell you why it's so important to look at this as we begin a new year. You know, there are certain things that are pretty sure as we go into a new year. You know, some things that seem to be very stable. Things that, if it was anything like last year, will be good. Didn't have any major trouble or heartache. Seems like it was just a good year. So I'm saying 2019 is going to be just like that. If you've had a good year, and if you lived through the year you had a good year, then remember that you don't know what kind of year you'll have this year. That there's the uncertainty of life. I don't like to think about that because it means that first of all, you're not going to live forever. Number two, it says this, that you could die at any time, whether by natural causes or wrecks, that your whole life could be altered by an illness or a sickness. So you never know. But let me tell you what, the 4 I ams I'm going to share with you today will carry you through 2019. If you will not only listen to these 4 I ams, and you will apply them to your life and let them become a part of your being, no matter what you face in 2019, you'll overcome it. You'll overcome it. You know the first thing I want to show you what Jesus said? He said to the other Jews that were listening to him and the Gentiles, he said, I am the bread of life. That was an unusual statement. I am the bread of life. You know, the Jewish people that heard him say that, they thought about the time when they understood that Israel was in the wilderness, and the way God fed them was he sent manna from heaven. It was made up of all kind of different ingredients, but it was really like bread. And they said, well, you know, God our Father was the bread of life to all of us who grew up in the wilderness. But Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that bread. I'm talking about the bread that comes from heaven and that gives life. I want you to notice, let's read about it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 6, 32 through 35. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. So he was saying the manna, that was not the bread that brought eternal life and eternal fullness. That was Moses' bread. But my Father gives you the bread that comes from heaven. And he goes on in, for the bread of God, now listen to this. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Boy, he really defined the bread of life. He said, I can't come down from heaven and it's all about life. My mission is all about life. It's all about lifting people to a higher and a greater life that they will find in me. It's all about life, he said. And then in verse 48. Let's go stay at verse 34. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. If you're the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to all, then give us this bread always. And he said to them, I am the bread of life. So you say, well, boy, that is quite a graphic description of Jesus. We all know what bread is. I've never been to any country in the world, and I haven't been to that many countries. I haven't been to many countries in the world where they didn't serve bread. I mean, they may not have anything else on there that you could eat, but it'd be bread. And you say, well, I'll take a chance with that. Sometimes it wasn't too good a chance. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. I'm telling you, you don't realize what Jesus was saying there. It was a mouthful, I'm telling you. You see, these people today and in that time never seemed to be satisfied. Never satisfied. But Jesus said, now listen, you want to find satisfaction? You want to find peace? You want to find purpose? You want to find what life is all about and how living life in fellowship with me is? He said, what you've got to do, he said, you've got to come to me and partake of me. He said, I am the bread of life. And if you ever come to me and get to know me the way you should, the world, it will not be as attractive to you. You won't hunger after the world. You'll hunger after Jesus. And he said, the world won't look so plentiful and beautiful. You won't thirst after that. You'll thirst after me. And he said, he that believes in me shall never, never hunger and never thirst. Let me say this. You've heard me say it 100 times. And I say, I hope I said 100 more. Nobody can satisfy your life and the inner needs you have but Jesus Christ. You can look, you can search. You say, I'm going to find life with friends, and I believe in friends. Well, I'm find life in this, and I'm going to find it in that. And Solomon tried them all. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. But I'm telling you, you'll be empty. You'll be searching. You say, well, my goal, I'm going to make $1 million. You make it, and you're just as empty as you was before you made it. So please understand, the only one that can bring inner satisfaction to you that is lasting, inner satisfaction that can go through heartache and sorrow and pain and blessings and other things. I'm telling you, people don't understand what they're searching for. They know something's missing. They know that. They know that. But they don't realize that in every individual, there's a God-shaped vacuum. And only Jesus Christ can fill that. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. You know, what kind of life are we talking about? Did I put verse 48 down there? Is that verse? You got that verse? And then look what Jesus said again. I am the bread of life. What a statement. And Jesus, when the devil tempted him and tried to get him to turn the stones into bread, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He said, I am the bread of life. That's the only place that life is going to be found. Well, what kind of life did Jesus come to give us? If we allow Jesus to be the bread of life to us, we look to him for spiritual nourishment. We look to him for direction in our life. We look to him then as the bread of life, the one who satisfies our deepest hunger and our deepest thirst. Well, what will be the result of it? John 10:10. What does it say in John 10:10? It says, the thief comes except to steal. He does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life. Let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ is all about life. Man, you talk to a Muslim, and I'm not being critical of them. I'm just saying, and you know, theirs is not about life. It's focusing on death. About what am I going to do when I die, and what can I do to be sure that I get to heaven? Christianity is the only religion, it's not a religion. Christianity is the only way of life I know, that the whole purpose of it is about life. Oh, it speaks to the matter of death and how it's overcome. But you'll be finding out that most religions are dark and dreary, and they talk about death, and it is the fear of death that drives them to try to be saved by good works and all that. So you've got to understand that Christianity is all about life. I've come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Well, let's just read some things it says about what kind of life the bread of life gives us. In John chapter 6, I say, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Sometimes does it seem almost surreal that God would say to you, you are going to live forever. You're going to live forever. It's not if you're going to live forever. It's where you're going to live forever. And there are really only two destinations, by the way. Heaven or hell. That's the two destinations in eternity. But he said, I am the bread of life. And he goes on in John 6. And he talks about in verse 54. Now let me tell you this. This could easily confuse you. Jesus gave an illustration, and this is what we remind ourselves of in the Lord's Supper. He said, this is my flesh, which you partake of it. Let me come into all of your being. And said, this is my blood. Drink it, and it will bring life and fulfillment to your life. Now, let me read it, and then I won't explain it to you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, you do know there is a denomination, pretty big one in Mobile, that believe when they have communion that the water actually turns into the blood of Christ, and the wafer actually turns into the body of Christ. Well, it's called transubstantiation. I'm going to tell you something. You know why I know that's not true? You know why I know it? Because there are going to be a lot of people sitting in any congregation, including this one, who are not right with God, who have rebellion in their heart. And do you think the Father is going to let them eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink the blood of the Son of God? Heavens no. That would be blasphemy. Jesus was using this, and he explains that he was not talking about literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He says that these words that I speak to you words that are not literal. He says, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And then he goes on and says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, and he's talking about the Lord's Supper, but he's talking about every day. He's talking about every day. That it's like, he's the bread of life, by the way. Well, if he's the bread of life, then there's an illustration that we're to partake of him every day and allow him to be our life. He said, he eats my flesh and drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in him. And he goes on and says, in verse 63, now you got to get this. So somebody would say, well, look here. It says right here that we have to eat the flesh of Jesus and drink the blood of Jesus. And so anytime we have communion, it actually turns into the body and blood of Christ. I do not believe that. Never in 1,000 years do I believe that. You know why he was given an illustration? Listen to what he says in verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He said, I'm not about spiritually. If you'll eat of my flesh spiritually, if you'll just abide in me and give yourself to me and let me be your life. He's talking about spiritually. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And listen to what he's saying about the words he just spoke. The words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. It's not literal. It's not flesh. The Lord's Supper is very, very significant. Because the wafer is a symbol of the body of Christ. And the fruit of the vine is a symbol of the blood of Christ. And when we do that, we are actually entering into and partaking of Jesus himself in a spiritual way. And that's why it's always touching and always moving. If you observe communion, the Lord's Supper, in the Spirit of God. It's a moving thing. Moving thing. God just comes down. And so we've got Jesus as the bread of life. And he is our life. And we are to partake of him and abide in him and dwell in him. So in 2019, there's a crisis. Remember what Jesus said. I'm the bread of life. I'm here for you. Come, abide in me, and you abide in me. You just dwell with me. And you just go to Jesus as the bread of life. And the bread of life, it can be a picture of a symbol of anything that you have a need of in your life. I'm so glad that since I have ate the bread of life and drank the water of life, I never have thirsted again. I'm not looking for something to fill the emptiness of my life. Praise God, I have found somebody who fills the emptiness of my life. And his name is Jesus. But look what else he said about himself. He said, I am the bread of life. And then he went on and said, I am the light of the world. He said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, over in the first chapter of John, it talks about Jesus is the light that gives life to every person who comes into this world. So ultimately, every being draws their breath from the Son of God. And it just depends on how they respond to him as they get older. But you know, it is awesome. There's a promise here. And boy, do we need this promise. He said, now, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. It's hard to walk in darkness when you're on the heels of Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've taken Jesus some places lately you shouldn't have taken him. He didn't lead you there, so you just kind of took off on your own. You got to understand, as the light of the world, if we'll just stay right behind him and focused on him, we will have victory over the world. We will, because Christ is the light of the world. And that light exposes the darkness and exposes what happens to people. If we'll just stay close to Jesus, we'll have victory over sin. We'll have the power to live a holy life. He said, but you got to follow me. And if you do, you won't walk in darkness. It's pretty dark outside, in case y'all didn't know it. By the way, I'm thankful that the sun finally came out. I asked one of my neighbors, what is that round thing up there in the sky? Man, we had about 7 dreary days. You say, Brother Fred, you complain. Now, I'm not complaining, but I'd rather have sunshine than dreary, okay? We're not even going to vote on that. If you want it that way, you can. But see, it means so much that the great I am, God himself, Jesus, said, I'm the light of the world. It's always, I'm going to be light as long as this world stands. Hey, did you know one day that God's going to take the light out? The Bible says the Holy Spirit restrains now, and the day will come when he'll take away the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, and the church will be raptured, and all hell will break loose on earth. It already has in most places. But you got to wonder, it says this, Jesus said, you know, follow me. I'm not going to take you to the darkness. I'll take you to the light. And you'll find satisfaction in your life. You know, and it says that we're to be like a city set on a hill. It said of us, you are the light of the world. And you're like a city set on a hill that shines forth to all other people. He said of us, you're the light of the world, but don't put your lamp under a bushel. You know, I know one thing. If you're going to have a fruitful, meaningful, God-pleasing 2019, you better walk in the light. You better follow the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will shine into your heart and reveal the things that please God. And he will shine in your heart and show you things that don't please God so you can repent. You know, it costs you something to follow Jesus as light of the world? In Luke 9, 23 and following, look what it cost us to follow the light of the world. You say, well, I just decided to follow Jesus and I'll do my thing and I'll just go along. He'll do his thing. Well, listen to this. Then he said to them all. I'm talking about following Jesus now. He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, you know what the big words are, don't you? That's so hard. He said, oh, if you desire to come after me, deny yourself. And then die to yourself, take up your cross daily, and just follow me. Well, Lord, I want to follow you, but I don't want to deny myself. You know, I have plans and I have a way I want to live my life. I want to follow you, Lord, but I'm not going to be willing to deny myself. I can't do that. Yes, you can. But you see, it costs us to follow Jesus. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow him. Then you look at the next verse, it says, whoever desires to save his life. Jesus, I know I'm supposed to deny myself and follow you, but I tell you, I'm not going to do that now. I'll be first, and then I don't know who will be second, but somewhere down the line, Jesus, you'll be in line. But I'm going to be first. And my desires are going to be first. Well, I'm going to save my life. You are not going to tell me how to live, Jesus. For whoever desires to save his life, I'm going to live my life. We'll lose it. You'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, you deny yourself. You will find it. You will find it. It's only in your dying and then coming and following Jesus and letting him be your life, that you will save your life. For my sake, he will save it. It cost. In verse 25, For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? Let me give you one other word about what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, I want you to look at this. Boy, this is a great verse for us as believers. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. I bet the word there is Elohim. I bet that's the word. That I want you to know that Elohim is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Zero. If we say, Pastor, I'm having fellowship with Jesus. Boy, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying, I'm coming to church. I'm just loving Jesus. I'm loving Jesus. I'm loving Jesus. Man, I'm saying, praise God, praise God, praise God. But wait a minute, it says here, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We have to be careful what we say. I believe that many, 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 many people in this place are saved. I have no idea. I know there are plenty of people here that are saved. And I know you know what it is to walk in the light as Jesus is the light and let him forgive you. And you have no trouble knowing if you wander off in the darkness. You'll know. But there may be some of you that that's all you've ever known. You didn't know how wonderful it was to walk in the light. Didn't know how wonderful it was for Jesus to be the bread of life to you and satisfy your deepest desire. Well, I'm not happy. Well, you go try this, but it don't work. Well, I'm not satisfied. Well, you go try this, it don't work. What a joy it is to know as the bread of life, he satisfies us. And as the light of the world, we can follow him. And he will not take us into the darkness where there's death. The thief steals, kills, and destroys. He will take us in a path of righteousness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Next verse says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if you walk in the light, then the bottom line is you're going to have fellowship with the Lord and with other believers. When I face some difficult times in 2019, you know what I'm going to think? Wait a minute. I'm going to visit with the bread of life. And I'm going to tell him what's going on. He knows. Or you say, well, you know, this trouble, am I not really walking in the light like I should be? Have I drifted over here into the darkness? And it's an easy thing to do. But I guarantee you, if you'll just say, okay, in 2019, Jesus is the bread of life to me. In 2019, Jesus is the light of the world to me. And then there's just two others. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, we all know the 23rd Psalm, so we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And we can just go ahead and quote it all the way through. But here in John 10, he's saying that he's a good shepherd. And let's just read John 10, 11 through 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. I like that. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and am known by mine. Somebody sent me a quote this week. I think it was a text message. And it kind of startled me. But then I said, it's true. We say that the greatest thing in this life is to know Jesus and to know that your sins are forgiven and to know that you have his righteousness and to know that the minute your heart stops beating, you'll be with him. So it is a great thing to know Jesus, but also probably the greatest thing in the world is to know that Jesus knows you. Does he know you? Does he know you? It scares me to death when I read about those who went to Jesus and said, in thy name we have cast out demons. In thy name we have done many wonderful works. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The best thing the Holy Spirit could ever say to you, the voice of Jesus said, I know you. You're one of my children. I know you. I know you. I know you. And you can know that he knows you. But you see, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And I know my sheep, verse 14, and I am known by them. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. And he goes on and says in the next one, my sheep hear my voice. Thank God. And I know them. And they follow me. Pretty good. Aren't you glad to know that the Good Shepherd's going to speak to you in 2019? There was a guy that was in one of the positions of leadership. Well, he was employed by the Georgia Baptist Convention. And anyway, Charles Stanley was at First Baptist Atlanta at that time. And there had been a big fight because the liberals didn't want him there, and he was the associate, and the conservative people wanted him there. So 300 of them that didn't want him there went down and joined the liberal church, Second Ponce de Leon's down the road. Well, you know, Charles, he just talks about talking to God, and God talking to him. Well, this guy called him up and said, I need to talk to you about something. And Charles said, okay. So he went and sat down with him. You know what he said? God doesn't speak to people anymore. What planet is he on? He said, you say that you talk to God and God talked to you and God told you to do that. Well, it says right here, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I guarantee you one of the greatest things you need to know, if you are a child of God, God will speak to you in 2019. And you need to have your ears open. And you need to say, go ahead and make your mind up. When God speaks to you and tells you about something, and you know it's not contrary to the Word of God, you've tested the Spirit, you know it's not contrary to the Word of God, then make up your mind. If it's not contrary to the Word of God, the answer is yes. And the Lord speaks to you and you said, you know the answer? It's yes. Let's go. You say, well, I got to think about that. That's your problem. You got to think about it. You don't need that. You need a heart that is so yielded that when God speaks, and you've got to be sure it's God speaks because he never contradicts his word. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, he is not only our leader as the good shepherd. Sheep follow the shepherd. Sheep follow the shepherd. Do you know that even in that analogy, sometimes there are stray sheep that just wander off? I guess there are Pentecostal sheep, Baptist sheep, Methodist sheep, Episcopal sheep. Lord, I'm not sure some of them are sheep. But he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. What a great promise. Brother Fred, I'm going to have some decisions in 2019. I am not going to know how to handle it. I'm not going to know what to do. What am I going to do? Tell the Lord. I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm listening. You promised me. I'm one of your sheep. You said I'd hear your voice and I could follow you. So I want you to know I'm not doing nothing until you talk to me. I'm not going to do a thing. I'll tell you what, if I had waited to listen to God, I've been a lot of things I did that I wish I hadn't done. I remember the time I bought a boat. I said, Lord, have mercy, this is the greatest time in my life. About 3 months later, I was begging to get rid of it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was drifting and ran into one of those oil rigs. I had no business being out there. No business whatsoever. But I didn't listen to God. I wanted a boat. I was glad when I got rid of it. And you are too. Oh, me. That means he protects us. The good shepherd protects us. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Listen to this. Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand. And my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. And nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm telling you, if you are one of Jesus' sheep, if you are a child of the living God, if Elohim is your God and Yahweh is your Lord, the great I Am, let me just say this to you. You're more secure than anybody else. Who's going to take you out of the hand of Jesus and then take you out of the hand of the Father? It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And he said, nobody's going to be able to separate us and pluck us out of their hand. Well, here's the last one. I'm the bread of life. I'm going to remember that in 2019. I'm the light of the world. Therefore, I don't walk in darkness. And you know, Jesus is the good shepherd. My good shepherd. And you speak to me, and I will listen, and he will lead me, and he'll protect me. He does. But then the last one is probably the most significant. And there are other I Ams in John beside these four. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Boy, that was a statement, wasn't it? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Are you telling me the gate on the narrow road is that narrow? You tell me that the gate is so narrow that that gate is Jesus himself, and the only way you get on the narrow way is to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you walk the narrow way till you get to heaven. Let me tell you one thing. No one comes to the Father except by me. When Jesus said, I'm the way, he said, I'm the way to God the Father. I'm a way to a spiritual life. I'm a way to eternal life. I'm the way to a life full of peace and joy and contentment. I'm the life that is more than enough when there's heartache and break and shame and things aren't good. He said, I am the way. What did he mean when he said, I'm the truth? Well, the Bible says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Truth means that he tells us the truth about Elohim. Or Elyon, he tells us the truth about God, the Father. He tells us the truth about sin. He tells us the truth about righteousness and holiness. He tells us the truth about how that in him we live and move and have our being. So he's the truth. And I love to read in the Bible where Jesus is just speaking the truth. The whole Bible is inspired, you know. And I have some passages that are more favorite than others. Don't you have more? You know, I don't really enjoy reading the genealogy. I don't really enjoy that. So-and-so begot so-and-so who begot so-and-so. I don't know one of them. But it's still inspired. It's inspired. God put it there. And it's important. And so I'm going to read it. But, you know, you just got to realize that God is Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. I was visiting a person recently in the hospital. And this person was seriously ill and was on morphine. And that makes you say crazy things sometimes. And one of her relatives was in the room. And she didn't know where he was. She said, by the way, did you know he's an agnostic? I bet that made him feel good. I said, well, what is an agnostic? Like I didn't know. And he explained to me. I said, I tell you what, it takes a lot of faith to be an agnostic. It takes more faith to think it just everything just happened than to know behind it is an omnipotent creator named Elohim. Man, you gotta be full of faith, the wrong kind of faith, to be an agnostic or to be an atheist or whatever you want to call it. I am telling you, in fact, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. I hate she embarrassed him like that. But, you know, morphine does crazy things. So we've got to remember, he's the truth. Test everything by Jesus. Somebody said, well, you know so-and-so. Well, let's see what Jesus said about it. Let's just see what he said. And I don't think there's a subject he did not address in those 33 years. I don't believe it is. He said, so I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And that means eternal life. Eternal life. But it means life now. Let me ask you a question. What is the life of a Christian now? It is Christ living in us and through us so we can be the light of the world. Now think about that. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Said, and this is the glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So right now, the life that we have, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, is the life of Christ in us, produced by the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, and all of that. So we have supernatural life. It is the life of Christ in us. It is. And Jesus works through us. I never will forget hearing Dr. Olford say this, Lord, I give you my mind, think through it. Lord, I give you my eyes, look through them. Lord, I give you my ears, listen to them. Lord Jesus, I give you my tongue, speak through me. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart, love through it. Oh Jesus, just live your life through me. You know, the Bible says we're vessels. Vessels. And we can be a vessel of honor that Jesus can fill in this life and live through us. Or we could be a vessel of dishonor. Under God, we have no desire to be that. Well, I want to leave this word with you in 2019. Live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. I lost something yesterday. And I made up my mind, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. If it shows up, it shows up. If it don't show up, it don't show up. I ain't going to spend 2019 worrying about stuff. It is what it is, right? Well, why don't you go find it? If I knew where it was, I would. I mean, do not let circumstances overrule the truth that the living God is Elohim, and he is your father, and he knows you, and he loves you, and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he said in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I tell you, I feel so secure right now, I believe I'll just go on to heaven. Because I'm telling you, everything you need is in Jesus. And everything you ever could want is in Jesus. So don't believe the lie. It's not Jesus plus anything. All you need is Jesus Christ to be in control of your life. And he will love you. He will lead you. He will bless you. He'll encourage you. He'll correct you. But praise God, he'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is his name.